You're listening to Health Lifelines, a podcast brought to you by The Lifeguard Approach, your trusted source for insights, solutions, and training that empower you to become a lifeguard for your patient's health and well-being.
Good day, friends, and welcome to the Health Lifelines podcast. Today, I'm going to be speaking with and having a great conversation with Dr. Julia. And so let's jump right in. Welcome, Dr. Julia.
Thank you. It's exciting to be here to chat with you, Chris.
Absolutely. To begin with, give our listeners a brief synopsis of where you've been as far as your thinking and your education and how that impacted your approach to patients.
Absolutely. So I graduated from dental school. I am a dentist. And I went through a few years in a traditional dental practice before I incidentally stumbled down the first rabbit hole of biological dentistry. So finding my way really on accident, it was a fated meeting that I found an office that was hiring. They advertised as holistic, and I thought, I don't know about that, but I'm going to go find out what they're all about. And that was my first really discovery into thinking about dentistry differently. And
well, that's very interesting to me because from what I understand and know of human nature, change isn't something that we necessarily willingly jump into. So what was it about what you heard or saw or a conversation you had that literally what I call reduced your threshold of concern in order that you decided I need to take some personal action in this? So get down to the real nitty gritty of what change.
Yeah. So to be honest, I don't think I knew what I was signing up for when I first discovered biological dentistry. So now just to quickly round out the picture of the journey I've stumbled through, and then I'll explain more into that pivot. But going into first biological dentistry, where I began to take more consideration into dental materials and inflammation in the body as a whole, and really making sure that the mouth connects with the rest of our body, as we know is very important.
Yes.
But then I really fell into a network. I was practicing in Chicago, a network with an incredible group of providers that were offering airway dentistry. And so my second tumble down the rabbit hole was to discover airway dentistry. And then the reality of where I've sort of landed now is I've created my own business, Auris Wellness, that is geared all around providing education and support for parents as they try to navigate this airway dentistry space. So a lot of my own journey, I'm always so impressed by the parents that I meet and the amount of education that they've had to take on themselves in order to advocate for their own children. And I've always been interested in, my favorite part of dentistry was educating the parents on things that I saw that maybe I wasn't necessarily the right provider for offering that service. I always joked that I could refer you to this person or that person. I became an excellent referral source to other providers. But I think that that's important too, because we sometimes just need to be able to direct these families to get patients, or of all ages, really, to get the care that they need. And that begins with the education piece and making sure that they understand that what they may need may be beyond the traditional scope of what they've been offered in the dental practices that they've come across before.
You're so right. And I posted a social media post recently that said, I tried to continue to be a traditional hygienist, but there were too many other options. And I think that especially now with the science that we have, we need to be thinking and looking at patient health very, very differently, very differently. And the biggest thing that I think, from my perspective as a hygienist, is we've got to start asking new and better questions that aren't the old, tired, worn, pedantic questions that we've been asking for s decades. So, tell me a little bit about how your conversation with parents has changed since you started in dentistry. Sounds like you've made a shift.
Absolutely. And I think even you're absolutely correct. It's been an evolution that still happens because every parent that I talk to, I learn something new from each individual situation. And that's where I'll start, is just really when I first sort of pivoted into a more holistic mindset about things, it was making me more aware of seeing that patient as an individual. And coming to understand that I can tell you who I think is the best person for this or that. But at the end of the day, I've really learned that I have to figure out what's best for each individual family and make a recommendation based on what that set of circumstances is, what their preferences are, and really making sure that we're taking the most customized approach possible.
I love that. And you're truly, truly putting the patient first, everything that we do. And that is where our focus needs to be placed. For those that don't understand, and for some lay people and parents that might be listening to this, could you explain the difference between biological and holistic so that they understand that when they're possibly looking?
Absolutely. So I think holistic is more of an umbrella term that applies to, again, just seeing the body as a whole and really making sure that we are addressing the issues or symptoms as the person's entire health system. So when I say body, of course, I don't just mean your physical body. Your mental health is a part of that as well. Your nervous system, all of it, tying all of it together and just seeing things from a broader lens. Whereas biological dentistry tends to be a little bit more specific into, I suppose, really the sort of the biochemistry of the body and looking at, signs of, is this certain dental material that we're using going to be the right material for you? Are we able to address inflammation in different ways? It sounds like a lot of what you've done sort of with tackling the biofilm for your patients and kind of changing the way that you get patients to a state of health. By really, you're not just cleaning the calculus off of teeth. You're really trying to take that approach from the inside out and make those changes that are going to make them healthier. So in those regards, holistic is kind of a more broad term and it can apply. I always say that sort of airway dentistry and breathing is holistic, but it's not always the same as biologic in that way. Biologic tends to be a little more focused on the materials. You can have providers that look at both, certainly, but it's not always the case that somebody is looking at both of those.
Thank you for doing that. I'm sure that'll bring some clarity to a lot of people. So, what do you feel is, what's your biggest challenge? What are you seeing the most, both in, you treat adults too, right?
So I've really pivoted. I was treating all ages in Chicago where I was practicing. Right now, I've really pivoted into the consulting space strictly for families and parents in order to help them find the treatments for their children. So I'm not practicing chairside dentistry at this exact moment in time. I'm really focused on meeting parents and giving them this education virtually so that they can answer their questions and get clarity on the different types of treatments, the different kinds of providers that might help them, and then even in some cases, helping them locate those providers that can round out their care team that have similar philosophies to look at things from a more holistic approach. And that's not always what all parents want. So that's the other side of it, is I might think that that approach is better, but I have had clients who are more focused on traditional approaches. They work in hospital systems and they prefer to get straight to more direct approaches. And that's where, again, I have to learn to listen to, I can educate the parent on these are the wide variety of options that we have. But at the end of the day, if a parent wants a surgical approach, if they want to start with getting adenoids and tonsils taken out rather than trying expanders first or something to that effect, that decision lies with the parent. And I think that making sure that they have the right information to make the best decision for what their child needs. So I guess that was an explanation more of what I'm doing, but my biggest challenge with that, just to circle back to where you had started, is probably just letting more families know that that there are options. I think a lot of the parents I talk to get stuck because they've either hit a place of overwhelm of they're not getting consistent answers, and that feels overwhelming, and that can make them sort of freeze and shut down. So on the one hand, knowing that this variety of treatment proposals they've received, that's normal. There are a lot of different options of how things can be addressed, and we just have to find what feels aligned for each individual. But on the other hand, sometimes the indecision or the inaction that parents are falling into is because they've gone to see their local provider that supposedly is the one that provides this more airway focused treatment. But maybe starting with myofunctional therapy feels like a really hard place for them because, as we know, it's a huge commitment to do the exercises and to take that on, especially with a young child, and making sure that they can commit to that type of routine. So sometimes parents get stuck when they think, I've already done this, or I've already gone to hear what they had to say, and then they don't know what steps to take next. And so that's the challenge I'm facing, is to make sure that more parents know there's always something that you can look into to be able to take action. You don't have to get stuck.
Yes, and that goes back to that. I think what you do is you help parents that are at a certain level of their understanding of things and events that are happening with their children, and you bring their level of concern down. And everybody says, well, why don't you raise the level of concern? No, when you lower a level of concern, it brings about in the person a moment where they realize, I've got to take action now, and I've got to do something about this now, instead of just figuring, oh, my regular provider will be just fine to deal with these issues. And that's not always the case. So I hugely acknowledge what you're doing and your focus and how you're going about reaching people. What have you found is, aside from what we just talked about, what do you find is your biggest challenge in doing a virtual consulting company?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our training and our background as a hygienist or as a dentist is much more hands-on with our skill set. And so I know that sort of shifting into both sort of the entrepreneurial mindset and also as you've kind of mastered and honed the art of really talking to people. That was something you built a skill up over time with how you made that connection with the patients and you got to know them over time. And that's probably one of the bigger challenges is in this virtual existence. These aren't long-standing relationships. I don't have the every 6 month cleaning to rely on to really get sort of to understand what their motivations are or to at least plant a seed. Sometimes we're not ready for change. And so sometimes that's one of the things that in a chairside practice, I was able to sort of plant a seed and say, think about this, take this list of symptoms home with you, pay attention to that over the next few months. And when you come back, we'll chat further. So now in this virtual phase, it's really, I'm finding the parents who certainly are ready and motivated to get the help that they need because they recognize in themselves that they've sort of let things go in a way that they don't feel good about. They'd like to take action, but they don't have all the confidence in what the next steps are. So building those relationships, I've been really pleasantly surprised at how well I feel like have been able to connect with a lot of the parents that I've connected with virtually and in some cases have some ongoing support and relationships there. And a
Awesome.
lot of them are kind enough to send me updates after the fact, because most of my work is really done in one session. It, over about the course of an hour, we meet together and try to just find some solutions for them. And
Sure.
so a lot of what I truly have enjoyed has been the messages I get after from parents when they're a few months down the road and they just let me know how much better their child is doing, the mouth breathing's better, or the various symptoms that they're seeing, tonsil size has gone down. So that's been really rewarding, but it is harder to have that relationship in the virtual setting.
You're listening to Health Lifelines, a podcast brought to you by The Lifeguard Approach, your trusted source for insights, solutions, and training that empower you to become a lifeguard for your patients' health and well-being. This episode is just a taste of the strategies and stories we will share to help you and your patients live longer, healthier lives. If you're enjoying the content, make sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. As a reminder, this podcast and the opinions expressed here are not a medical diagnosis. And don't forget to explore our additional resources, tools, exclusive content, courses, and coaching solutions from the Lifeguard Approach by visiting our website at thelifeguardapproach.com. And now let's jump back into today's episode. And how do you establish relationships with people you refer to since you're virtual? So people may be calling from Timbuktu, and how do you go about finding people to collaborate with and refer to?
That's a great question. That is the result of a few different factors. One is membership and participation in some of the organizations myself. So either training, a lot of people refer to certain organizations that they've trained with, or also different organizations that we attend meetings with on a somewhat either annual or semi-annual basis. So certain organizations that I belong to and I have the network from that, But also just others who I've been able to learn about. There are certain directories. I know you're very involved with the Children's Airway First Foundation. There's a lot of support and resources in, a variety of networks and organizations that in some cases it'll be me reaching out to other members in those organizations and asking. But in some cases, it's strictly using what I know about the type of treatment or the type of therapy that somebody is looking for, and running a search through different geographic areas to see, I have a little more insight professionally than some parents who maybe don't know what they're looking for or haven't figured out exactly the right terminology. Again, I'm so impressed by the number of parents that I have met with that are using all the right vocabulary. They sound like they've already been to dental school. I hesitate to kind of chuckle at it because I know that it's hard-earned knowledge that they've had to assemble this knowledge on their own so far. But it is really impressive that a lot of them have put that together. But sometimes it's just finding the right word, finding the right company, or different things like that. So there's a variety of possibilities that we can use. And in most cases, those providers are highly recommended. And so I try to stick with providers that are getting good reviews on the whole. And in most cases, the families I've worked with have been really happy. So it's been good.
Awesome. What a service you're providing. Thank you for doing that. So, what ages do you limit yourself to the lower age range, or do you do, birth to age 18?
I do try to cut off around age 12 or so. I will chat with those who are, I used to provide frenectomies for infants, so I do have the insight into the infants. But I think that those situations are often don't involve quite as much support. So I still talk to a lot of parents that are dealing with feeding issues and they're looking for their support, and I definitely still offer that service. But the majority of the families that I'm helping are typically around, I would say, age 3 to age 12. Once they're around age 12, they've probably developed enough to really start to be looking at these interventions from more of what's available to the adult population just due to the growth that they've already gone through. So
Within that age group, what would you say is the most outstanding thing that you've learned about, say, 3 to 6 year olds? What is most impactful in their life that you can help direct them toward?
I think anything we can do to promote nasal breathing is definitely most impactful. And there are a variety of ways to get there. But that is such a pivotal foundation for these children and the growth that they're going to see over the next several years. And if we can ensure that their habit is to breathe through their nose rather than to breathe through their mouth, their health, their sleep, their growth, their development, their learning, so many things are just going to be in a better place to really thrive.
Yes. I just interviewed Dr. Hang, who I'm sure you're aware of. And I was curious, have you seen the photo that they took of him and published in the paper after he ran the Boston Marathon? He ran it with a piece of tape on his mouth. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what a feat.
Absolutely. And he's right. I've heard him speak to the fact that the other athletes have taken that approach and really made it sort of a buzzy celebrity situation in some cases, which is great. It brings a lot more attention and awareness to how much nasal breathing can really enhance our sense of wellness.
Absolutely. How would someone go about getting in touch with you if they
So
wanted to take advantage of your services?
the easiest way is through my website. We can share a link to that. It's www.oriswellness.com. And with going through my website, I actually do offer a free 20-minute discovery call for any parents that are just wondering, is this the right service for me? It gives us a chance to do some introductions and for me to make sure that we're kind of a good fit, a good match, and that I would be able to answer any questions about how I work and point you in the right direction. So that's how most parents come through. If someone's really feeling tight on time, I do have an option where they can jump straight into the call. But most parents do want to benefit from that discovery call first, just to make sure, because what I offer is pretty unique. It's not a very common service. And so just making sure that they feel like this is the right next step for them.
Yeah. Well, and again, what a great resource you are for people in this day and age of so much, not necessarily conflicting, but it's like, well, what's the right thing to do for my child? So
Absolutely.
you help them define that, and that is a real gift to be able to help somebody do.
Thank you. I've been enjoying learning. I mean, again, I've been listening to your podcast as well, and that's one of the things that I like to do is to send parents podcast episodes that I think helpful resources for them. And so I think that, you've been a champion for making sure that patients find autonomy. And I love the fact that you're working to educate other hygienists and other team members from all different parts of the dental offices to really think about this differently and change that paradigm too.
Yes. And, for me, it all goes back to events that happened in my childhood. And that really set the stage for me of who I was going to be for my family and others. And so in the last close to 50 years, who I was going to be for my patients, it just took me a little while to figure that all out. But the great thing is, as the science evolved, I evolved, and so have you. And that is the most important thing. And bringing and sharing that knowledge of evolution into what's best for our children has been a gift that we've been able to do, because parents don't live in the same realm we do. They don't know what the science is and what's changing. And, just as an example, most parents probably think there's nothing wrong with retractive orthodontics. And
Absolutely.
so when they take their, 11 or 12 year old in to be examined and develop a treatment plan for extracting teeth, or if not that, using retractive devices, we just are so working towards not doing that anymore. It is not how to take care of our kids. So I
And it starts
appreciate
so
you.
much earlier than just the dental treatments themselves. It's the habits at home. It's the awareness of, I hear a lot of parents say, I know my child shouldn't be sucking their thumb, but we're dealing with all these other health issues right now. And what they don't often realize is that those other health issues are all adding up and connecting to signs that there's a greater airway issue. And so that's where we have to look at habits and environments and all the things that are changing. And you're right, parents oftentimes don't have the opportunity to appreciate what's going on because they're, to use your analogy with the lifeguard approach, they're drowning in the situation. If they're not sleeping well, if their little one's not sleeping well, they're not sleeping well, and all of this adds up and becomes very overwhelming in the number of decisions that parents have to make on a daily basis, just to make sure that everyone's doing well, really can get to be a lot. So helping to make sure that we can streamline this information that's getting to them is the least we can do.
Yes. And for all you caregivers out there, just be committed. When you see something, say something, because our parents have a right to know, and we have an obligation. We took an oath, both dentists and hygienists, and I don't know about any of the other dental professionals, but we took an oath to always be honest and to advance the art and science of dentistry. And this is what it's about. We're advancing the knowledge and understanding, and we're saving lives at the same time. Because my big belief is what is allowed to persist in a child follows that child for the rest of their life. And I'm a perfect example of that, having had four bicuspid extractions and retractive orthodontics. So, yeah, man, I'm a pit bull when it comes to making sure that we do the right thing according to what the science is, not according to tradition. There's so many other options. So I like to call myself when somebody says, "Well, who are you?" And I say, "I'm an architect of change, formerly known as a traditional hygienist."
I like that. I like
And
that a lot.
you are that to a T. So thank you for all that you do. As we kind of wind this down today, I would like you to tell me about two things. Number one, what do you consider your superpower?
I guess I would circle back to what I was saying at the beginning was that was sort of a joke at first where I was practicing as a dentist in a dentist's office and sending all of my patients elsewhere. So it became a situation where at first it sounded funny, but I think I'm very good and I've honed the skill of knowing when to refer somebody. And so even though at this point it's now shifted, the clients that are coming to me are obviously not in my dental chair right now. But I do think my skill is sort of taking a step back and saying, what is the number one symptom that we're hoping to address? Because sometimes that gets overlooked. I can help you put a plan together, but your motivation is going to come from what the number one symptom you're hoping to change is. And so that might influence where we get started or who the right provider is or the right type of provider. So I think my superpower is knowing when and who to refer to, figuring that out for each situation.
Awesome. What a gift. Thank you for developing and honing that part of you and that gift and what you have to contribute to dentistry and to the health and wellness of patients. It's so
Thank you.
needed today. So my second question for you is, I've started having you, my guest, always leave a question for the next person that I interview. And it doesn't have to be anything specific, just what comes to mind that you think would be a great question, because I'm all into quality questions. I love questions. So what would you think would be a great question for the next person?
I would love to hear, I think an interesting place to go might be how do you want to be remembered? What is the change that you want to be remembered for? That was for me a really pivotal question. I have a dear friend who does a lot of business mentorship and business coaching. And, a lot of times when you're trying to figure out, I've heard you say before, who you want to be for your patients. When you're trying to figure that out, I think it's simple to fall into this trap of trying to envision the future and trying to see what might become of each individual situation or of your specific situation. But one of the things that she asked was, what is the change that you want to make and how do you want to be remembered for the change that you make? And for some reason, that little tweak, instead of looking at myself in the future, it was, what is the change that I want to make for others in the future? And that was helpful for me. So maybe I would ask that to your next.
That's a great question. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, it takes a lot of the the fear and the resistance to change when you make it about other people and not about you. So that's a very great piece of advice. Thank you. And that's a great question. I will be sure and ask the next question. I'm curious, is your mentor and friend, is it a woman?
It is,
Is
yes.
she in Chicago?
This is an exception to the rule. She's not in Chicago. She was a university friend of mine that I've kept in
Okay.
touch with.
All right. Okay. Well, this has been such a pleasure, Julia. And
Thank you.
we'll put in the show notes how you can get a hold of Julia. And really, if you have any questions, concerned about your child, we all want the best for our child, and we'll do anything to satisfy that kind of burning desire in our hearts to always ensure that our children have the best. And so I'd encourage you to reach out to Dr. Julia, give her a call or schedule an appointment with her for an exploratory call, and take advantage of her wisdom. This is not just advice, this is wisdom. So thank you again for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. That's it for today's episode of Health Lifelines, brought to you by the Lifeguard Approach. I hope you found inspiration and actionable insights to support you and your patients' journeys towards better health and more fulfilling lives. Remember, every small step you take today builds the foundation for a healthier tomorrow. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and share the podcast with someone who could benefit from it. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow this community of health-conscious individuals and dental professionals focused on becoming lifeguards for their patients. For more tips, tools, and resources from the Lifeguard Approach, visit us online at thelifeguardapproach.com. Also, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn at The Lifeguard Approach. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, stay informed, stay inspired, and keep showing up as a lifeguard for your patients at every single appointment.